Radio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sonny Morello.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
It's me, CDP.
The greatest man that ever lived, always liked a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
God!
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior? Surprise, surprise. He ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Thank goodness for my believers. They have truly been the wind beneath my wings.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your wrestling action figure needs. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Hey, 3 weeks in a row, I'm the handyman. Awesome.
You are totally the handyman. I have not heard that song in forever, by the way.
Awesome. I kind of pulled something out and just went, bam, there you go.
There it is. Bam. Well, we have a jam-packed show to get into for everybody. It's going to be a little bit shorter because, well, we are kind of pre-taped this week. Sorry, I had a wedding I have to go to. So not going to be able to do the show live, but, well, we're going to try and make it up to you because, you know, we have Edge.
Yeah, the Rated R superstar and star of one of the stars of Haven, Edge, Adam Copeland, will be on the program a little bit later, and he's going to talk all about Haven, being a father, some wrestling in there as well. So we cover it all with the Rated R superstar in our special spotlight interview of the week.
Yep, because we seem to be doing that lately.
We seem to be spotlighting different people every week, and, you know, hey, it's a new fall season. We kicked it off right with Eva Marie and then Brian Shields and now Edge. So the fall season of the Rack is off to a great start.
It is, but we've got news, and we of course have Night of Champions. We have to get into Night of Champions. We'll be talking about a little bit later. Edge is coming up here. After we talk a little bit of news, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at PWMania.com. Go there for all your news needs. And I think we have to talk about one of the biggest stories coming out this past weekend, which if you saw Night of Champions, you know exactly what happened. And that is the fact that Roman Reigns was sidelined due to emergency surgery for a hernia on Saturday, which naturally took him off the pay-per-view on Sunday, and he's going to be out for what WWE is saying is several months.
He had an incarcerated hernia where it basically did something inside the hernia sac itself. It just went expanded and, yeah, it blew up. And he had bladder issues and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's not good for Roman Reigns. And originally, it was like 6 weeks, and they've titled it several months. Which, you know, 2-3 months is several months, so there is that.
Well, anytime you have to have surgery near on your abdominal region, it takes a little while to come back because obviously those muscles do have to heal and they can take a little bit longer. Ask anyone who's had an old school C-section, they'll tell you. So.
Yeah, it all depends on how fast his body heals, and he's not allowed to do anything physical for 4 to 6 weeks. So he's not going to be able to train for a while. So it means okay, he has to heal up, and he has to train, get himself back in the ring shape. So it'll be a few months before he's back in the ring. And WWE is hoping he'll be back by the Rumble. For everyone, it seems like the Rumble is the clear target date. If they're not back before then, they're kind of screwed. But they have a little leeway between now and the Rumble to get their guys healthy and ready to go.
Well, I mean, they obviously, the time between the Royal Rumble or actually really before the Royal Rumble all the way up to WrestleMania is really WWE's prime time goal. That's when they usually try to book their best. That's when they try to do everything on point, because you start that road to WrestleMania at the Royal Rumble and obviously you finish at WrestleMania. So you want everybody to be healthy, you want everybody in a good place, you want everybody on deck in case, you know, you need them, because some people like to change their minds at 6:45 on Monday night and rewrite the damn show.
Vince McMahon, we're talking to you.
We're talking to you, dude. That was not cool. Not that he would listen to anything we have to say.
No. We expressed our frustrations on the Raw post show, heard every Monday at 11:10 p.m. Eastern, right after Monday Night Raw. Yeah, that Raw just seemed a little out of sorts. And yeah, well, you know, when you rewriting at 6:45 when the show starts live on USA Network at 8 p.m. Eastern. That gives you an hour and 15 minutes to start rewriting a 3-hour show. So, yeah, it explains why they're writing it during the show.
Yeah, so, and obviously Roman Reigns getting injured threw a huge wrench into everything that they had planned, because I know that they had Night of Champions written, they had Raw written, and I believe they had SmackDown written, all based around at least Roman Reigns and what had happened at Night of Champions, and well...
Well, kind of, sort of, not. Yeah, things kind of got the monkey wrench, and yeah. So, hopefully, Roman gets back healthy here in the coming weeks, because WWE's going to need him, especially for the WrestleMania season, because he seems to be in line for a big old push, and, well, if it's what they want, well, he's got to be ready for it. So, maybe you have to wonder, does an injury like this sort of take pause for WWE? It's like, it's a freak injury, it's not something you can prepare for, but it's like, imagine if this happened during WrestleMania season.
Oh, that would be devastating. Well, it's kind of interesting because just to kind of look at WWE and them selecting their top guys, you know, Daniel Bryan unfortunately got hurt. Now Roman Reigns has gotten hurt. There seems to be a somewhat developing pattern of the guys that they feel are going to be the next John Cena, as it were, or the next top star of the company, have been sidelined for one thing or another.
Well, if you think back last year, what happened this time last year? Somebody got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. John Cena.
Yep.
He had this big old bulging thing coming out of his elbow. Yeah, it was kind of gross.
It was not cool. No. We had to watch the surgery on Total Divas. I really would have preferred never to have seen that.
Oh, the wonders that is Total Divas, Holy Naked Rose. If you're not listening to The Rack Extra, well, now you should. It airs on the website on Friday afternoons, sometimes Saturday, depending on schedules, where we recap Total Divas. And we're up to episode 3 this week and episode 4 next week, so check it out on the website if you're new to the program, tuning in to listen to Edge for the very first time.
Yep. And speaking of Total Divas, by the way, get well, Roman. Speaking of Total Divas, Vince has apparently made another decision concerning the product, as if he, you know, doesn't do that a lot, where he's basically decreed that no active Total Diva is going to be champion, which is kind of an interesting statement.
Especially when most of the Divas division is a member of the Total Divas cast.
Yeah, you have some of your top Divas on that show, including the Bella Twins, which are Vince's other favorites, right there with AJ. So it's something and truth be told, that benefits the other Divas on the roster that are not on the show. But you know, you have girls like Natty, Rebella, Nikki Bella,
Naomi
in particular, that, you know, until they're off the show or Vince changes his mind, they're not going to get the title. That's got to be really disheartening.
It really is, but again, it's one of those things. The report came out, basically said that, you know, Vince could change his mind at any minute. And well, clearly by Monday Night Raw, he can change his mind at any minute. But it's just very funny and interesting. It's like, didn't you go think about who's not a total diva? You have AJ, you have Paige, you have Layla.
You have many girls down in NXT.
Then you have the girls down in NXT, but on the main roster, there's not that many that aren't a member of the cast at this point.
Yeah, at this point, no. Most of the Divas roster is on Total Divas. Very few of them are not. So, yeah, that really narrows the list down, and pretty much at this point, it's probably going to end up being AJ and Paige. So they continue their feud to trade off that title.
then you can throw Layla in there, you can throw Emma in there, and then you go from there and see what happens. But, and again, the girls, it doesn't mean the girls won't compete for the championship. They just won't hold the title.
Right, exactly. Which, to me, kind of makes sense. Because, you know, while there are many deserving girls on that show, to give them the title just for the sake of the TV show, which is what a lot of people were afraid of when Total Divas first started.
Which everybody has been saying since day one. Oh my god, they're gonna put it on Nikki Bella, or Brie Bella, or Natty, or this person, or that person, because they're on Total Divas. And as clearly it hasn't happened.
Yeah, and they're not interested in doing that. Clearly, Total Divas is a part of the WWE product, but in terms of Raw and SmackDown and the title picture, it doesn't get you a title.
And at the same time, when they eventually do put on a Total Diva, it'll be a big deal. So I see it from both ways. It's like, well, one way you're limiting them, but at the same time, but when you do it, it'll be special.
Exactly. So, very, very interesting decision. Another kind of interesting decision, or somewhat expected decision, I should say, is there's going to be no Brock Lesnar at Hell in a Cell. That's right. The WWE Champion is taking that show off.
As of today.
It can always change.
Vince could change his mind on Monday and go like, I want Brock. We're going to pay him this. We're going to have him defend this title against this person in the cell because we need him. It's best for business, pal.
Yeah, so, but at this point, Brock is not expected to compete at Hell in a Cell, mainly because there's nobody for him to compete against.
And this is where I say, thank God, because then I would have to come on air and say someone was right. And I didn't want to do that.
He hates saying I'm right.
I loathe saying she's right. It pains me so much, and I say it so often, too. Because she gave me this whole scenario for Hell in a Cell, and I was like...
I did, and they could still do it. You know what? They could still totally have Cena raise a beef and say, you know what, he got screwed by the Authority, and he demands his title rematch, and he wants it in the cell, and he's going to kick Brock Lesnar's butt in the cell, and lo and behold, come the show, that's exactly what John Cena does, and you're new! WWE World Heavyweight Champion, John Cena. He's the one that beat the one in 21 and won.
I'm not coming on here saying that she's right about that. Nope, 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 not going to happen. Nope. And I was like this right after she said that. I was like, nope, not going to happen. And she just laughed and laughed and laughed.
You know it's coming. Y'all all know it's coming.
Because, well, we learned on Monday Night Raw, someone's the mole.
I'm not the mole.
Clearly you are.
I think it's one of those Wild Talk Radio people that are the mole.
Well, you are a Wild Talk Radio person.
Other Wild Talk Radio. You know the one that's on Sunday nights?
You mean Wrestle Talk Radio?
That one!
Yeah, Wrestle Talk Radio. Wrestle Talk Radio. Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ding!
Oh...
By the way, if I am right, I am totally citing this show. Just pointing that out.
She just wanted to get it on record, that's all.
I did, so he can run a WWE with it because he's the mole. You know, I'd also like to throw out a huge congratulations. Arda or Cal, who will now be known as Kyle Edwards, has officially signed on with WWE as a future broadcaster. I want a reunion with him and Renee, like, now.
Just imagine them being the ones doing the post-shows and the pre-shows.
I want them commentating the shows. What are you talking about?
Well, you start with the pre and post-show, then you move them on to shows. That's what I mean. You start with one, and then you work their way in.
Fair enough. But, yeah, so there's going to be a SCORE reunion in WWE as both Renee Young and Arda are coming together once again. I'm sure he is beyond thrilled as he is a huge fan of the product. And, you know, all I can do is say, thumbs up, you made it, well done.
I'm so jealous. He took a picture in front of the WWE logo and tweeted out something with where it started with, finally.
Right?
So,
I'm sure he's been trying for a while.
Yeah, he's been wanting to get there. He's worked his way from being just a reporter in Canada. He started working with the Baltimore Sun. He did stuff with the Weather Channel. So he worked his way to WWE. So good on Arda Raquel, now known as Kyle Edwards, because that's what he changed his Twitter handle to. I think it's Kyle Edwards WWE or WWE Kyle Edwards, something like that. You can probably just Google Arda Raquel and you'll find it.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. And, you know, speaking of being excited, speaking of things to squee over, we have to talk about the other big news of the week, which is the fact that WWE released, and I should say 2K Games, released the gameplay trailer for WWE 2K15 on Monday. Holy naked Rosa. It's so damn pretty.
Yeah, I saw the trailer on Monday. I tweeted it to Lindsay, and she's like,
I was out exercising when he tweeted to me, and I'm like, I can't look at it! And wait.
And I teased it with her, Spider Walk.
Yeah, yeah, he did. I was like, Spider Walk's in the trailer, and then I looked at the trailer. There, Wyatt's all over this trailer. I am so happy.
They at least can make it they can make it to a trailer. You know.
They can't make it on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, but by God, they can make it on the 2K trailer.
And the one thing we noticed, the beards look really, really well done.
The beards look really well done. The hair is still a little awkward, but you can tell that they've improved on it quite a lot.
It's getting better.
It's getting a lot better. And that's always my concern with these games because, you know, of course, the people like John Cena and Randy Orton who have no hair look fine. But then you get into, like, the girls, and you get into the guys with the long hair, and they don't look as good because, obviously, in terms of gameplay, they don't have the way to make the hair look realistic. You can tell that they have really made the effort to try that this year, to make the beards and the hair really come alive and really look like they're supposed to be there and move like they're supposed to, you know, like they're supposed to. Because, you know, in terms of the faces, they did 100% facial scan, and I believe body scans as well. So when you look at the characters in the game, they look like themselves.
Hunter looked really, really, really realistic. It was kind of scary.
Hunter looks good. Cena looks good. Bray looks amazing. When he was doing the spider walk, it's like, oh my God, that's his face. And then it's like this thought crossed in my head. It's like, they had to mocap that. I want footage of it now because he probably looks like a deranged Christmas tree and it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we have to talk about the other side of this because 2K sent out these videos that, you know, watch what you say in the comments because, well, you may regret your words. And they actually came up with this really clever kind of marketing campaign for it.
Yeah, they did.
Where they go through the comments and they actually had the WWE talent on Monday at Raw respond to different comments regarding the trailer. And it's just, I sat here for like 30 minutes yesterday watching their reactions because it's completely uncensored. It's just them being them. Paul Heyman is hilarious. He responded to a couple. Cole and JBL responded to some. Bo Dallas did.
Yeah.
Paige.
Yeah. Sami Zayn reacted to some. Hogan did. Just here's an example of one of them. Paul Heyman responds to The Real Deal.
You know how you know someone's not the real deal? They tell everybody they're the real deal. And here you are taking your shots at me. My name is Paul Heyman. I'm the advocate for the reigning, defending, undisputed WWE Heavyweight Champion of the World, Brock Lesnar. That's what I do. What do? You sit there and you tell people, I'm the real deal. Good for you.
There's another one where he yells at someone and tells them to change their icon picture.
Yeah.
Because it's of Paul Heyman. Yeah. Heyman's like, change your picture now. Now!
Right? Right? It's like, oh my god, Paul Heyman. Oh my god.
And the rest of them are just as good. Like, it's just completely hilarious. I think the best, some of the best were those Cesaro, because Cesaro responding to some of the names, he's just like, really? Seriously?
Uh-huh.
It is just hilarious.
Yeah, so.
So I have to compliment 2K and WWE on that, because that's actually a really clever kind of marketing campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to sit them down and actually have them do that, and it's a good way to incorporate the fans and make them feel at least a part of the game in some capacity. Especially since, you know, you're showing them the comments and they're actually reacting. It's not pre-taped or anything. It's them seeing it going and coming up with something.
Yeah, off the top of their head, it's kind of...
It's all kinds of special.
Yeah, here's one more. Here's Dolph Ziggler responding to Brock Lesnar.
Ball with the ball. You know the lyrics, you know how it goes, you know how it sounds, you know how it rocks. And if you really are Brock Lesnar, you listen to me. You're a great champion. Everyone who's talking bad about you, I wrote their name down.
And to continue, here's one from the Cesaro where he fat pockets. Yeah. Yeah. Just listen.
All right, fat pockets, bro. If that's how the kids speak nowadays, then... court safe is all. But you're right. Grab the game by its horns. That's no bull.
Cesaro.
All right, a little sidetrack from this. As we're recording this show, I'm watching Cyber Sunday 2006 on the WWE Network for only $9.99.
Wait. You can't even pay full attention to our show?
I am paying full attention to your show. Just, can you let me make a comment, will you?
Fine.
They were showing the trailer for The Marine. So I had to bring that out there. They were showing John Cena on the set and showing the trailer for Marine. That caught my attention. Like, it's like, oh, hey, it's the Marine. Has it been really that long? Yeah, it's been that long.
Yeah, it's been that long. Think about that. It's been
8 years since the Marine.
Wow. 8 years. Oh God. Wow.
So, yeah, so there's that, yeah. But, yeah, anyway, back to the trailer and the comments, like, oh, yeah. The game looks really, really good. They look really authentic. I can't wait till November 18th to get the game.
Or the end of October for 360 and PS3.
Yes, October 28th.
So, don't forget, there's two dates. For the older systems, it's October 28th. For the new gen, it's November 18th.
Yeah, so there you go.
There you go. So, well, we're out of news, so I say we take our first break of the evening. And when we come back, things are going to get a little rated R, because that's right, y'all. Edge is coming up next, so you don't want to miss him. So stay tuned, because you're listening to The Rack on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
You think you're special. I can see it in your eyes. I can see it when you laugh at me. Look down on me and walk around on me. Just one more fight about your leadership.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, did you know that CB Radio is all over social media? Well, now you do, bitch asses. We are all over Facebook and Twitter. When it comes to Facebook, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. All one word. It's not that difficult. Go ahead, enter it in your website address, fucking go to it, even search for it if you're really that lazy. Go to Facebook, search up at the top cigarette butts and bandanas. You know, it's not that difficult to find us and like us. Come on, you listen to us every week. Just fucking give us a like. We're all over Twitter, too. Every single one of us is on Twitter. You can follow the show at CB Radio WTR. That's the letter R, you know, Q-R-S. I just can't pronounce it. You know, I'm from Boston. Suit my bitches. After you follow the show, be sure to follow me, the Boston Badass himself, at Mr. Chris Loesch, L-O-E-S-C-H, all one word. That's in case you didn't know how to spell my last name. You can follow Rob Parks, you know, the godfather of extreme, at CB Radio G-O-E. And you can even follow Subway, who actually has got Twitter. He has a smartphone now and is on Twitter. So you can follow him, and hopefully he makes a little bit more sense there than he does on air. At X-Core Subway. Not that difficult, was it, people? Now stay a part of the fun and excitement that happens off the air, just as well as you do on the air. Every Saturday night at midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's been.
Greetings and salutations, listeners. This is Christopher Daniels, and among many things, I am a pillar of society, an inspiration to children everywhere, and the man with the rear that makes the girls cheer. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the Rack on Wild Talk Radio. And now, you are too.
You think you know me?
Welcome back to The Wreck right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your action figure needs. Joining us right now is one of the all-time great performers in WWE history. He is, in fact, a WWE Hall of Famer and now has become one of the stars of the hit sci-fi television series Haven. Please welcome the proud new papa, Adam Edge Copeland. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I like the proud new papa. That was good. That's the best part of the intro, I think.
Oh, well, glad we made you happy. So how's fatherhood treating you?
It's amazing. It's all of the cliches that people talk about and that movies show. It is all of those things, and you have much less sleep, and you will have poop on your hands and all of that stuff. But it's awesome. What has been really, was a change this year was having a baby and then maintaining these hours. That's been a challenge, but it's been good. So, I mean, if I look a little bit more tired this season on Haven, that's the reason.
Got it. Good to know. So, you know, you guys you're going into season 5 for Haven. So can you kind of give us a little bit of a teaser about the season and maybe tell us what kind of things we can expect from Dwight?
A lot happens. It's pretty crazy how the landscape of the town completely changes from the first episode to the episode that kind of breaks up, which might be season 5 or season 5A. I don't know how they're going to air it, but the entire town, the landscape of it changes from the first episode to the 13th. And we're currently about to start filming the 17th episode. So it's really it's kind of crazy when I think back, especially to when Dwight first came in the show, how much has changed, not only to the town, but especially to him as a character. It's been a fun ride.
Oh, I from what I've seen, I can totally agree with that. So, you know, you mentioned how Dwight has evolved, you know, from season 2 to now season 5. Can you kind of maybe describe that to people who haven't watched the show or aren't as familiar with the show and how you feel that evolution has gone?
Well, initially, I don't think anyone had the idea that the character would really be around that long. It was just kind of one of those cross-promotion, and WWE SmackDown airs right before Haven. I had just retired, so it fit in all of those categories. And then I think both parties, Haven and myself, realized, wow, this, we might have a little something here. Who knows? Some season 2, they were amazing letting me grow as an actor and then into this character, too. And they really wrote toward that and helped me get comfortable with this whole process, you know, because I hadn't done much acting before this. So they were very kind to me. And, this year I had a lot more heavy lifting placed on me, and I was ready for it. I feel like I was ready for it. And if that had happened the first season, I would not have been. So it was very nice of them and kind of them to let me mature, in this aspect of entertainment, you know, compared to what I was, you know, used to doing.
Right. And so that must have been a cool day for you when you got that phone call, I guess, from the producers where they said, hey, you know, we're going to take you from being a guest star to a regular on the show.
Yeah, you know, every time I kind of get surprised, you know, it becomes, you know, from cleaner to chief of police. And it's been a nice growth. It didn't happen overnight. It was, you know, letting me get comfortable with the process and even just comfortable with the crew and the cast and getting that rapport. You know, that's really important. And, it helps your performance. So I think they were really, like I said, kind in just letting me kind of, you know, figure my way and cut my teeth a little bit and hopefully just not screw it up too bad. And then once I started to feel more confident and comfortable, they gave me more responsibility, and that was nice.
Now, have some of your castmates helped you grow as an actor, and have they been giving you tips and pointers and that kind of thing?
Oh, without a doubt. I'm really spoiled. Really, really spoiled with how awesome everybody's been with me. And I made no bones about it, though. I was completely open and said, hey, I will take any kind of guidance, constructive criticism, whatever you got, fire it my way. I'm not going to take it the wrong way, because if I want to get good at this, I have to hear everything and know things that I can improve on or things I can try. And then I'll pick their brains, too. You know, in between takes, at first I would ask, well, oh, you did this, how come? And now I'm starting to see when they did a choice, I'm like, oh, they did that. That was interesting. And kind of have an understanding of where they were coming from that choice now. So it's been really good. And also, too, just the array of actors we have, you know, from Richard Donat and John Dunsworth and Jane Eastwood, with just this vast amount of experience and just always making different choices, to Emily and Lucas and Eric, who all go about it completely differently. It's been fascinating to just sit back and watch and share scenes with all of them, too.
What do you think has been your biggest growth as an actor over this period? Become from being a guest star and not really doing much acting to becoming a regular on the show. How have you grown and evolved as an actor at this point?
What I finally did in between seasons is I actually took some classes, and I think that kept the muscles flexed.
Right.
And instead of jumping right back into acting after, you know, 6 or 7 months off, it stayed. They didn't atrophy, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that was instrumental. But also just understanding, I kind of broke it down to like 3 C's. It was comfort was the first thing, and I finally started feeling that. With comfort, there came the confidence, I guess, to make choices.
Right.
And then after making the choices, then to fully commit to them. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of those 3 things. That I realized I can make a choice, but if I'm going to do it, I gotta run all the way with it. I can't half-ass it. And so I think that was really what started to make a big difference for me. But first and foremost, it was comfort. And that goes back to the cast, the crew, the writers, and everybody giving me the opportunity to get comfortable. You know, if I hadn't got comfortable, then it would have been something I would have walked away from by now.
Right.
Now, you mentioned that you took classes. Was there anything that you were able to bring over from your time working with WWE and kind of performing in front of live crowds and pulling emotions from live crowds that you were able to use as you grew as an actor? Or has that not had as much of an effect?
I mean, it definitely does. You're in front of a camera no matter what.
Right.
So that is always the same. And there's nothing that gets you used to being in front of a camera except being in front of a camera. So, I was in front of a camera my entire adult life. So that part of it really helped me coming in. You know, I wasn't coming in without zero experience or you know, acting in front of a camera for the first time, because there's always an element of acting with WWE. But so that definitely lent itself. The one thing that I had to do was pull back a lot of my over-the-top mannerisms that you had to in order to translate it to someone that is, you know, an entire town's population away from your performance in the back of a stadium.
Right.
You know, if you're performing for 80,000 people, you have to make it big or they aren't going to see it. So that was a big difference that I had to get used to, was kind of pulling back and making things much more subtle. But it was nice to, you know, in some respect, it's great to have a live microphone and no net, because once you do it, it's out there and it's done, and you're making your choices, and your choices are happening as you're seeing them. And that can be amazing, but I got to admit, it's pretty nice to realize that you can try different things on a different take, and you have a script, right. And you can actually, you know, think about some of these things after you do it once and go, ah, wait, I think I want to try this, or talk to the director and go, what direction did you see it? Oh, well, let's try this. And it can be much more of a community process, as opposed to just going out there and you're standing in the middle of a ring by yourself with a live microphone and you have 10 minutes to fill.
Right. It's like, here's one take. I got to make it count. With acting, you could take your time and develop it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it's great preparation, because you're live theater on the round.
Right.
So when you have that under your belt, at least you can have some semblance of, okay, I can do this. I just got to get good at this new format.
Right.
Right.
So my question to you is this. Do you miss performing in front of that live crowd?
That was the fun part of it, was getting in front of the audience.
Right.
But every other aspect, no. I don't miss the travel. I don't miss the amount of pain I was in. I don't miss being on the road 250 days a year. I don't miss planes every day.
Right.
I don't miss rental cars every night. a different hotel every night at 3 o'clock in the morning after eating at Denny's at 1 in the morning. I don't miss any of that.
You partially describe my old job and working the night shift there, right there. I can feel you. I can feel you eating at Denny's at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, there's only so many Denny's Big Slams or whatever they're called that you can eat before you just go, oh God, give me Waffle House, and that's
yeah.
like, you know, that's like, well, we got Waffle House tonight, great. Yeah.
It's such a treat.
Not the most luxurious. Yeah, I know, and I mean, don't get me wrong, it was a great gig, and like I said, the amazing aspect was the performance part, but that was half an hour of a 24-hour day.
Right,
right.
Because that job starts as soon as you wake up in the morning and doesn't stop until you go to bed. And then you're probably getting 4 hours sleep. So it's an interesting way to make a living.
Well, at least it trained you for the 4 hours of sleep with the new child.
Yeah, now it's for different reasons.
Now he's okay with it.
Now it's okay with it.
Because it's all worth it.
Yeah, now it's much more, I can handle that a lot better than for the other reason.
So I'm curious to know, because we've seen, as we said, Dwight grow and change, you know, from season 2 when he first appeared to now in season 5. Do you have any aspirations for the character? Is there somewhere that you would maybe like to see them take the character, or that, you know, a particular, you know, type of situation that you would like to act out as the character?
I can honestly say that so far in what we've filmed for this season, all of those kind of desires have answered.
All right.
Yeah, I really got to sink my teeth into some cool stuff this year that I'm really looking forward to seeing how they play out. Like some of the producers and the director this one day in particular said, this is the type of scene that actors like dream of getting put in their lap. And I knew that was the case when I read it. I was like, whoa, this is huge. This is a big scene. This is a pivotal storyline point for the entire show, not just for this episode, but for the entire like history of the show. And I thought, okay, that means I'm doing something right here. Okay, they wouldn't just give this to me if they didn't think A, I could pull it off, or B, I wasn't, you know, a character that it would make sense to do it with.
Right. Absolutely.
It's been a fulfilling season, I guess is the best way to put it.
So it's safe to say that, you know, either your favorite scene or your favorite episode happens this season.
Yeah, definitely. Because there's just so many more scenes that, like, Dwight's in it a lot this year. So with that comes more opportunity, comes more scenes, comes more choices that you can make, and different scenarios to you know, find the character in. So it's been really, really good in that respect. And just fun to try and pull off and try different things with it. And, yeah, so it's been really good, for me, to try and do this and then also as I'm feeling more confident, them giving me more to do, feels like a bit of an affirmation, like, okay, all right, this is these choices, maybe not always the best choices, but at least I'm making choices and some of them are sticking.
Right.
So it's been a really good learning experience this year.
Now, going back and digging into your wrestling past, just a little quick second. We saw you hang out with your good buddy Christian a little while ago for the Ice Bucket Challenge, and we both saw it, and it was hilarious. So thank you for putting that out there. That was tremendous. Going back to your time working with Christian, is there any moment that truly stands out as memorable for you?
Oh, gosh. We had so many, like, to the point where we will forget sometimes.
Right.
And someone will mention something, or like, oh, yeah. wow, we were very there was luck involved, but there was a lot of hard work involved too. Finding ourselves in moments where we always pictured ourselves, but you never fully know if it's going to happen. But I think for probably the most memorable was the first time we won the tag team titles, right, and sitting on top of a table, across two ladders at WrestleMania, doing what we said we were going to do when we were wrestling in his parents' side yard, jumping off a washing machine onto a mattress,
Yeah.
And, so I think that would be the biggest one, but then we also found ourselves like years later, I'm teaming with Hulk Hogan and he's teaming with Lance Storm, and he's Hulk Hogan's doing the Hulk up on him, and I've just tagged Hulk Hogan in for the Hulk up, and we're like, just how did we get here?
Pretty surreal.
Yeah, it's really crazy when we've sat down and someone, people have said, so what's the story with you guys? And we're like, well, so here it is. We met in the sixth grade because of a ninja star. We went to high school together. We lived together in college, started wrestling together, went wherever we could and wrestled in barns and ate cans of tuna that we opened with a key and, on 40-hour bus rides, and made it to the WWE, won the tag team titles more than anybody else in history, and both became world champions. And fathers within 6 weeks of each other to little girls. I mean, it's crazy.
It doesn't get any better than that, honestly.
Well, it's just so nuts when I say it back to someone, and they kind of sit there with their jaw dropping more and more and more, like, that's crazy. It's not real.
Right.
But it was.
So, I'm curious, was that completely coincidental that you guys had kids within 6 weeks of each other, or was that planned?
Yeah, we didn't call each other and say, you ready? You ready? Let's go. No, it was completely coincidental. I was doing some promotional stuff for Sci-Fi, actually, and I was in New York for an upfront presentation. And I was in my hotel room, and we had found out that we were pregnant, and I was like, okay, I have to tell someone. It's technically too early to tell someone, but if I'm going to, I need to be able to, if anything does go wrong, have someone to talk to about it. And I was like, well, Jay's going to be the guy I talk to. So I called him, and I was standing in the bathtub of my hotel room because it had an amazing view, but only from the bathtub. So I'm sitting there staring at the Empire State Building going, wow, that's beautiful. He picks up the phone. I said, so guess what? And he goes, what? I said, well, we're pregnant. He goes, and then just silence. And I was like, oh, gosh, all right. And he goes, well, guess what? And I'm like, come on. And sure enough, they were pregnant too, and both had little girls. So it's just nuts.
So the question I have is, have you guys taught your daughters the 5-second pose yet?
No, nor will we. If they stumble upon it by themselves, then great. But I think we've already earmarked them for prime minister and president.
All right. Nice. Fair enough. So I'm curious to know, to kind of just ask this, because recently I live in Atlanta and Dragon Con just happened, which,
okay,
if you've never been to Dragon Con, it's an absolutely awesome event. You should totally go. So, being associated with Haven and Sci-Fi, they like to do a lot of the cons. Are we going to see you begin to maybe pick up the Comic-Con circuit anytime soon, or is that something you're just not interested in?
I don't know. Possibly, but it's over the years I've done so many wrestling oriented ones that it's like, I don't ever want to get burned out on them.
Right.
And,
so if the opportunity's right, I guess, but, I never say never, right? But, and I'm sure I am a comic book guy, so it seems like a natural fit. Anytime I've gone, I've had fun, but I don't think I'd want to make it like a circuit or anything.
Right. Totally understandable. And, in that time, with doing all the autograph signings and everything that you've done in your career, I really have to know, and this is kind of a stock standard question that we ask everybody, but I just have a feeling you'll have a really good answer. What's the oddest thing a fan has ever given you?
Oh, gosh. I've had, batches of cookies baked and sent to me with notes saying that they're coming to the house and they can't wait to start our lives together, and the kids can't wait to meet you, and like really kind of out there stuff to where you're like, whoa, did someone actually believes all of this?
Right. You know?
So there's moments like that where it can kind of derail your thought process for a minute, like, man, come on, like, where's your grasp on reality? However, then there's some amazing stuff, and fans will give you artwork that just really neat ideas and took the time to create something with, you know, a character, to create the likeness of a character that you helped, you know, kind of see to fruition. That had to have taken them hours and days and weeks and, you know, kind of pour their heart into. And those are always the things that I love. Like, I have some amazing artwork that I've collected over the years from fans. It's just cool stuff. You know, and there's part of you that goes, man, I feel like an egomaniac holding on to these things that are essentially drawn of you, but they're just so cool. you got to hold on to them because someone put a lot of work into them too.
Right.
I, as an artist, I can understand that.
But I think though, one of the things that is always I've found interesting is when people have my autograph tattooed on their arm, or if they've gone and gotten all the same tattoos as me.
Right.
And not as well done. So sometimes that can be a little like those tattoos mean something to me. And you know, I drew them, so there's meaning behind them. And so you just wonder how much meaning could it have to you.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
There's all kinds of interesting things you see over the years.
Okay. And last question, I promise. When we talked to you a few years ago, when you had first started with Haven, you had gotten kind of into painting, and you were really inspired by all the art galleries around Asheville. I'm curious to know, do you still do your art? Do you still have time for it, or has it kind of gone by the wayside?
This year I did some because we redesigned our home in New York, and so I kind of went off. And before we had the baby, I was like, okay, we have to either reupholster or repaint all of our furniture, and I want to do a series of Lucha paintings for that wall. You know, it became like this. I got home from Haven, and that's all I did for 2 months. And then we had the baby, and then it stopped.
Right.
Because then, you know, it's the baby. So it's still always there. Now it's just a matter of having the time.
Right.
Well, Adam, I know you have to go shoot.
But there is a pink fuzzy piano bench that is reupholstered now that my creative maniac side decided was a good idea this year. So there's all kinds of stuff like that now because of that.
A pink fuzzy piano bench. That's kind of awesome.
It went with the theme because we repainted the kitchen table this cream-colored white with pink trim and black, and put a sugar skull, painted that in the middle. And so it's a pretty crazy house, but in a good way, I think.
I kind of want to see it. That's pretty awesome. Not going to lie. I applaud you for that.
Collection of luchador masks. There's a lot of luchador masks and a lot of strange things in our house in New York, but...
Hey, you know what? As long as you like it, there's nothing wrong with it.
Exactly.
That's kind of how I view it. So, Adam, I want to say thank you so much. I know you have to get to shooting the show. So, once again, thank you for joining us. Everybody remember, you can catch Haven every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, only on Sci-Fi.
Yes, indeed.
You're listening to The Rack on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Never gonna stop me. Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jones! It's Jake the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins got his assault to Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today. Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
I want to wait for the hit because I haven't heard the song forever.
You have given me peace of mind. I feel so
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. What did you do? Find like my old 90s, like early 2000s mix CD and just start playing it?
This song was used for the Desire video for The Rock back in the late 2001-2002 era.
I remember that because I used My Sacrifice for Taker.
I could have thrown in some My Sacrifice in here if we wanted to, but that was a little too depressing, a little bit of a song.
Yeah, but it's like, oh my god, I haven't heard all these songs in like forever.
Though the opening song was Survivor Series 2002.
Yep, this is all taking me back. It's like college. It's all taking me back, man. All taking me back. So everybody, welcome back to The Rack. If I didn't already say it, I think I already said it, but hope you guys enjoyed Edge.
Yeah,
Edge was amazing.
He was awesome. He reeked of awesomeness.
He did. And don't forget to check out Haven every Thursday night, 8 p.m.?
8 p.m. Eastern. And, yeah, on Sci-Fi. Check it out. He's awesome. Thanks to the folks over at Sci-Fi for helping us talk to the Rated R Superstar, now known as Dwight Hendrickson.
On Haven. But now we're going to change gears because we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, Biggie, thanks for bearing with the absence of True Kofi, Xavier Woods, and I the last three Raws as we shoot Madea loses her tax refund in a dice game. Oh, Biggie. Oh, Biggie. Renee Young, I'm going to make so many bad food choices today. Seriously, Little Italy has another thing coming. Let's carve up, yo. Yo, True Kofi, Xavier Woods, and I are excited to grace your TVs soon after wrapping our PSA campaign entitled, If We Can Swim, So Can You. AJ Lee, shh, it's okay, you're safe now. And she tweets a picture of the Divas title in bed.
Yeah, that was kind of
under the covers.
Yeah, that was kind of awesome. I think I retweeted that. That was kind of awesome.
That was hilarious. Renee Young, ordering Beyonce on vinyl at 6 a.m. confirms my priorities are intact.
It does.
Renee Young, man next to me has a musk of old apples and 1,000 cigarettes. And that's all I got.
That's all you got? Alright. Awful announcing goes, Adam Silver shows up at Roger Goodell's press conference, nails him with a steel chair, names himself the new NFL commissioner. Pro Football Talk. So, are they hoping that the reporters follow the if the professor doesn't show up by 15 after we leave approach? Because, you know, Roger Goodell was late to his own press conference on Thursday.
Keep it classy, dude.
Or
keep
Friday.
Classy.
Might have been Friday. Kevin Cooney goes, former WWF commissioner Jack Tunney would call Goodell a puppet today. And he really was. And he was president, not commissioner, just for the record. So, Dave Lagana had a birthday. Happy birthday, Dave Lagana. Samojo tweeted him, you're older now. Good job. Hope you do it again next year. Lagana replied, this is some of my best booking. ProWrestling.net, join me in chanting AJ Lee during the Punk documentary. It seems like the fair thing to do. You know.
There you go.
Because they made us watch the Punk documentaries. We're waiting for the breaking news for Roman Reigns on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Conan O'Brien, I was going to buy the iPhone 6 Plus, but I already have a flat screen TV. Fake John Madden, breaking, RG3 separates both shoulders, signaling touchdown. Ouch. Fake John Madden, LeSean McCoy being tested for a concussion after saying he'd leave a surfer 20%. Ouch. Because, you know, he gave that, you know, 2 cent tip or whatever. Or 21 cent, whatever it was. Zack Ryder. If Mark Henry doesn't wear red, white, and blue singlet tonight at Night of Champions, we riot. Well, luckily for you, he did. Kind of. Amy Fadul goes, horse collar, face mask, potato, you know. Same sort of thing. Dave Lagana, back judge 119 in Washington versus Philadelphia, officially ruled blind, looking right at the face mask on Sprawls and doesn't do a thing. Yeah, the referee really didn't do a thing when that happened. It's like, oh yeah, didn't really happen. Not SportsCenter, for the first time in 8 games, Giants quarterback Eli Manning did not throw an interception, which means he's now due to throw about 27 next week.
So it's a race between him and Romo?
Yes, it is. Who will throw the most interceptions? For the record, I did not take the shot at Romo.
Somebody had to take it.
Marty Dora.
It's not a show if we don't take a shot at Romo during football season.
I know. I'm just saying it wasn't me this time. I was innocent.
And you're going to have to say save your screw you till Monday, Kane Kittens, because I'm not back in town till then.
Frank Caliendo, ref, what do you call Peyton? Peyton Manning, pepperoni. # Papa John's overtime. Marty DeRosa, Bray Wyatt just did a crab walk to get more food at catering and made milk come out of Kali's nose. # WWE Night of Champions.
Poor Bray.
A restaurant, Andrew Goldstein, a restaurant in Japan is now serving black sausage hot dog. It's already a favorite among white women. Lana tweets, these are stupid but maybe a little funny, you know, the little chibi videos.
Mm-hmm.
At It's Bailey WWE, even in cartoons, I'm prettier. Bailey responded, but yet Rusev still hugged me instead of you. In the cartoon. Lana replied, whatever, you attacked him, It's Bailey WWE, just like you attacked me with your hugs in real life. Ack! And finally, Rockstar Spud, someone tweeted, I can beat Rockstar Spud in a match. Rockstar Spud responded, no you can't, you watch TV, I'm on TV. Sorry. That's tweet of the week.
Yeah, if you haven't checked out the chibi videos by Diego,
yeah,
they're kind of awesome.
They are.
The one he put out today was hilarious.
He's been on a roll lately.
And sadly, some of his stuff is a little bit more on point and entertaining than other stuff we've watched, which brings us to Night of Champions. This is not going to be a happy review, y'all. This is just not going to be happy.
No, it's probably not, because Night of Champions was a show. Like, it really was a show. Let's start with a positive, alright? The Peep Show with Christian and Chris Jericho. I miss the two of them together.
I miss their flirting so much.
They had some great chemistry together. He brought, you know, they were the sexy bees. Christian led them to the titles and called the vitamin C, which is what they used back then, and then Jericho said he was the leader. Christian says, no, I was the leader, because he's, you know, the captain. It's in his nickname, Captain Charisma. But Jericho said he was General Jocularity. And so Chris Jericho was claiming he was the leader because he's a general, and then Christian mocked Jericho's look and his outfit and talked about the length of his hair and, you know, maybe he could have worn pants to the Peep Show. Kind of be professional and sort of that sort of thing. This is a thing. It's not just, oh, hey, randomly show up in your gear. You should come out with pants. Because we wear pants at the Peep Show.
The only show on the entire WWE that does.
Orton showed up, called them Canadian Cool, the real-life Terrence and Phillip, Raj and Angelina. And Orton took credit for Christian not being able to compete anymore, and Orton said the only show that Jericho will appear on ever again is Total Divas. Jericho said, you know, that's perfect setup for Orton's new show, Total Jackass. Jericho then read off some nicknames, because that sort of thing, and then said Orton will never be the same ever again after tonight. Fun little peep show, kind of sort of built the match. Not really. Still waiting for an answer. They sort of tried to give me one on Sunday for this match, but it really just never, I never got an answer that I'm satisfied with.
Yeah, this match, yeah, we'll wait till we get there.
The show opened, though, with the WWE Tag Team titles on the line, the Usos versus Gold and Stardust. They came out firing. This was alright. I don't know where to even... what'd you think of this match? Before I try to find and go into see a little bit of detail, what'd you think of this match?
The tag match?
The tag title, yeah. Yeah, what'd you think?
This is one of the better matches on the show, I will say that. I'm not 100% high on Goldust and Stardust. They're not my favorite. But... it was a good opener. It was a strong opener. They did a lot in the match, which I applaud. It didn't really hold a lot of interest for me, and that's going to be kind of a common theme for this whole entire pay-per-view, is it really didn't hold too much interest, but for what it was very good. And I liked the finish. So, what'd you think?
I thought it was alright. The story of the match basically was Stardust and Goldust worked over an Uso for a long time. They kept, the Uso would make a comeback, but they would take back control of the match. Again, the Usos flew, and that was awesome, but it's kinda, here's the thing. And I don't remember where I heard this, but it sort of made sense. A lot of what we're seeing lately is a routine. And it's becoming more and more routine. Like, we always see this spot, and this spot in every sort of match. And when you get a Usos match, you're expecting to see them dive. And it just sort of becomes a thing. And it kind of gets tiring a little bit. While it's impressive every time, it would be more impressive if we don't see it every single night. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I would agree with that, but that's every wrestler, that's every match, because they figure out what gets the crowd up, gets their attention, and that really what they want to see.
Right. Yeah, I get it, but it's throughout every match, it's sort of like we know when something's coming. Maybe if they switch up the routine a little bit, it may add a little bit more excitement to said matches. Basically, here was the finish. Jim goes to the top rope, hits a crossbody for two cans. Samoan drop, did his ass bump in the corner. Goldust gets taken out with a super kick. Dark Matter for a two count by Stardust. Stardust backed him up into the ropes. Tied him in the ropes for a minute, used his gloves on him, and then slapped him like it's a duel. You ready for a duel? Let's have a duel. That was actually funny. Slapping him with the gloves. The Usos did the double dive, both on the Goldust and Stardust on the outside. Everyone is down. Jimmy goes to the top rope, flies on the Stardust, but Stardust gets his knees up, rolls him up for the win. 1, 2, 3, you're brand new WWE Tag Team Champions of the World, Gold and Stardust.
Which we all kind of figured was coming, honestly.
Yeah, that sort of was the general consensus, if I remember correctly, from everyone who... made some predictions, which we'll get to later, who did what, as far as predictions goes, and we'll tell you who won the book, courtesy of Brian Shields, 30 years of WrestleMania. We'll give you the winner when we're done our recap. So yeah, coming into it, we both picked the Dust Brothers, and like, there was two people in everyone who entered the contest, including hosts, that went with the Usos, and one of those people's Rob, so... Yeah, so not many people had faith in the Usos coming out. And, well, it was proven right. Goldust and Stardust win. So it was a solid start to the show, but we then had a promo from Ziggler. He talked about how he has the best stunt double in the world, because you can't tell them apart, and that sort of thing. Simple little promo by Ziggler and R-Truth, hyping the match for later. We then get some flirtation going on as we have the United States Championships, Cesaro and Sheamus. This one was physical. Really, really physical.
It always is when these two get together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you could just tell they wanted to be in the ring with one another. They started punching each other, slapping each other a little bit to start the match. They just went right for it. And it was fun to... This one... This one was fun to watch.
Oh, this was very fun to watch. This is, these two have been flirting for weeks. They started getting a little physical with each other. We saw the beginnings of foreplay. And then they just, you know, tonight went right for it. Cesaro took it to Sheamus. Sheamus took it to Cesaro. They really beat the crap out of each other. And just had a really nice physical match, which is what you expect from these two.
Yeah, they really did. Clotheslines, uppercuts, you name it, they got it. And the finish of the match was basically Sheamus was continuing to try to go for the bro kick, but couldn't connect for a while. Sheamus laid in Cesaro for a two count. There was a big, Sheamus went for the kick, Cesaro ducked, two count by Cesaro. Cesaro hit a nice modified powerbomb. Which is really nice, got to a two count. Cesaro went for the neutralizer, but countered. Bro kick, missed. Cesaro with the modified powerbomb for a two count. Sheamus then slaps Sheamus repeatedly. Cesaro slaps Sheamus repeatedly. Cesaro with a bunch of shots in the corner. Sheamus fights out of the corner, hits the bro kick for the win. Still U.S. champion is Sheamus. This match was good. It could have been better. They just, I don't know, it's something we sort of missed towards the end. It's like they were firing and firing and firing, and they just didn't ever hit the fifth gear, or fourth gear, rather. But it was a good match. I want to see more. I'd be okay seeing more of this.
I would agree with that. I would completely, you know, again, it's something of any time you see Sheamus and Cesaro get in the ring together, it's awesome. So, yeah, I would always love to see more of them, because they have great chemistry.
Yeah, they do. As I mentioned earlier, as we're recording the show, I have Cyber Sunday 2006 on the background, and it's Spirit Squad, two members of the Spirit Squad, Kenny and one of the other guys. I can't see his name from here, but it's not Dolph. It's not Dolph.
Oh, okay.
It's one that's the shorter one. I can't remember his name. Mikey? Maybe Mikey?
You expect me to remember them?
I don't know. They're taking on Roddy Piper and Ric Flair, and Roddy Piper should definitely be wearing a shirt. Anyway. you can hear Ziggler, though, in the background cheering on his teammates. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, so Sheamus wins. Again, not overly surprising. Though I think this is one we disagreed on. I was going with Sheamus. You went with Cesaro. I went with Cesaro. You went with Sheamus in this one. So congratulations to you for getting that one right.
Ha ha.
She just wants to rub that in. Big Show had a promo with Mark Henry backstage, and basically the idea was he gave him his USA gear and a scarf. While this was going on, Lindsay's thinking, Big Show, go find Bray.
Yeah, I was actually yelling that at the TV. Yelling it at the TV. I'm like, go find Bray, because as we talked about at the top of the show, Roman Reigns got hurt, which means his match with Seth Rollins was canceled. So it's, hey, there's room for a match on the show. Big Show, go find Bray, because this was a Wyattless pay-per-view.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's why, yeah, she was legit yelling that at the TV as this was happening, because we were talking as it was going on. So, yeah, we then had Florida, anything you want to say? No, we'll get to the scarf and stuff later. Florida Georgia Line came out for commentary for the Intercontinental Championship, Dolph Ziggler and The Miz. These two got a solid match, nothing overly special, as predicted, Florida Georgia Line got involved in this one. They got into Sheamus, Damian Mizdow's face, and they shoved him down. But then, basically, what stole this matchup was Ziggler lays out Mizdow. Ziggler chases him out. Our Ziggler lays out Mizdow, chases him out of the arena. Super kick by Dolph to Miz for a two count. Two count, Miz at one point then locks in the figure four. Ziggler finally gets to the ropes. Miz goes for it again. Fameaster, two count. Miz rolls up Dolph though. And well, we didn't. But a lot of people saw a lot more of Dolph Ziggler than they probably ever kind of expected to, as the full moon was in full effect, as Miz grabbed a handful of tights, rolled up Dolph Ziggler for the win. Your brand new Intercontinental Champion, The Miz.
I want pictures of that. Just saying. People of Instagram, you are letting me down. Why are you not posting those? I know somebody got a shot of that. Please share.
She has scientific research that needs to be done.
Yes, I need it for science. Science.
Scientific research. Yeah. Astrology. The planets.
Totally.
Talk about the match.
The match itself was good. I mean, I think a lot of people were distracted by Florida Georgia Line. I personally wasn't because I watched the shows typically on mute anyway. Because I just, the announcers grate on me over a 3-hour period.
So basically she heard me complaining about the announcers.
Pretty much, yeah. I watched it on mute, so I didn't have a problem with them. The match itself was fine. Damian was good. Truth was good. Everybody involved was good. You know, it was a nice little spot for Florida Georgia Line to get involved with Mizdow and, you know, Miz rolling up the tights at the end to get the victory. Definitely worth it. Definitely.
Science.
Science.
Science. Speaking of science... Since the match was not going to happen, Seth Rollins decided to come out and, well, he wanted to do something that was in the interest of fairness.
Here's a phrase we haven't heard in a long while.
And the interest of justice. He's going to give Roman 10 seconds to show up, and then if not, he'll accept his forfeit. So the referee counted Roman out via forfeit. Seth Rollins wins by count out. So... he says he knows everyone is disappointed. He's disappointed. He knows everyone to see him compete. He wanted to compete. He was disappointed in Roman Reigns. Because, well, he's not man enough to face him. So Seth Rollins is an opportunist. Oh god, it's King Booker. Then he basically issues an open challenge. And wouldn't you know it, after a few minutes, or a few seconds, a cab would pull up backstage, Lindsay.
Yes, yes it did.
And inside said cab was who?
A man that clearly did not pay his cab fare, much to JBL's chagrin. And a man that's been missing since his face kind of went through some cinder blocks. And, well, that's one Dean Ambrose.
That's right, the lunatic fringe himself returned, jumped out of the cab, charged to the arena. He charged in, attacked Rollins, tossed it, then they fought in the crowd. They were fighting up the steps of the crowd. The authority came out with security to break them apart. Dean jumped off the platform onto a bunch of people, including, I believe Hunter was in that pile up too, and a bunch of other guys. They continued to brawl through the other part of the crowd, and then they got back to the ring. Dean clotheslines him over the barricade as they were trying to get back to the ring. He grabs a chair. Security finally tackles, mainly JB Noble, tackled Dean Ambrose, and security jumped on him. They had the pull ties for the handcuffs, and they dragged Dean Ambrose out of the ring and out of the arena. And, well, the authority raised the hand of one Seth Rollins. High point of the night.
Yeah, this was clearly high point of the night. I loved everything about the way that they did this, the fact that you had Rollins come out. He demands that he wins by forfeit, which he does. Although, you know, because you're waiting for something to happen. You know something's going to happen. You know Ambrose is probably going to show up, and you're waiting to see how they do it. And I love how you have Ambrose, a guy who's been missing for, what, a month to 6 weeks? Nobody knows where the hell he is. Nobody knows what his physical condition is. You know, the last time anybody had ever seen him, he had gone through some cinder blocks. Rolls up in a cab. Doesn't even rent his own car. Can't even be bothered to do that. Dude rolls up in a cab. And I was joking around with my friends, because it's like, you know he just got in the cab and told the driver, take me to Seth Rollins. Because that's Dean Ambrose.
That is Dean Ambrose, yeah.
And they plugged in Seth Rollins' ass into the GPS, and amazingly, it found him.
I just like that you're GPSing Seth Rollins' ass. Okay, then.
You know that's what happened. You totally know that's what happened. But yeah, this was a great way to bring Dean back. It was expected, But it was expected in a good way, because it's like, okay, Roman's out, they're going to have to bring Dean back tonight and put him into the storyline. They don't have any choice on this. So Dean comes back, he attacks Seth, the two have it out, they brawl with each other all over the damn arena. They're chasing Dean everywhere, and then, just like the creme de la creme, you have them haul Dean Ambrose out in handcuffs, because it's the only way they can get him out of the building, and it takes like 6 or 7 guys to carry him away, kicking and screaming the whole way. This was really, really superbly done.
Yeah, it was. It really was. It was one of the high points of the night, without question.
I would agree with that.
So from highs, we go to lows. Rusev versus Mark Henry. Lillian came out and sung the national anthem. Mark Henry cried, if I can speak. I feel like Lindsay at the moment. I have that side of the brain right now. And then Lana came out with a brand new suit and shoes.
She's rocking those shoes.
Lindsay liked the shoes.
I like the shoes a lot.
And you like the skirt, too?
The skirt was a little awkward just because her skirts are so short anyway that any kind of real slit in them just looks awkward. Because they're short and they're tight. So it just makes the split or the slit in the skirt just like look weird.
So this was both men exchanging right hands and shot. Henry sent Rusev to the outside and kept doing that a couple of times. Rusev got frustrated. And then they just sort of had a match. Their offenses and really didn't, their styles didn't really work or mesh well together. It's very evident that didn't. Because you look at Rusev, he's supposed to be this big, strong guy, but when he's with Mark Henry trying to do power moves, it just doesn't look effective, and it really wasn't looking effective at all throughout this match. Rusev hit a spin kick, taking out Henry, locked in the accolade. Henry gets out of it, hits the world's strongest slam. Rusev rolled to the outside, then kicks Henry in the face. Rusev charged at Henry, nailed him with a kick, locked an accolade for the win. Rusev wins. I was not a fan of this match.
This match did absolutely nothing for me. It was really, and I hate saying this because this is no offense to Rusev or Mark Henry, but this was seriously the most boring match on the card. It was just, they didn't click. You could tell they didn't click. And it's something of Rusev's trying, Henry's trying, but Henry is just too big for Rusev. You're trying to make him look impressive, and it's just not working. Mainly because Henry wasn't selling a whole lot.
When he was selling, it just was impressive. Again, the movesets, they just sort of did not mesh.
Yeah, so it's something of, this match looked good on paper. It had all the potential in the world to really be something. But what should have been an impressive win for Rusev really wasn't. And I like how WWE tried to play it up and make it seem so much better on Monday night than it actually was.
Yeah, it just was very lackluster and no one cared. We then have Chris Jericho versus Randy Orton. If you've ever seen Chris Jericho and Randy Orton wrestle, they have good matches. And this was a solid matchup between the two. Again, it's like any match they've ever done, though. So nothing out of the ordinary. To get to the finish, Jericho goes for a running bulldog. Hits the running bulldog. Missed the lion saw. Backbreaker by Orton. Orton goes for the RKO. Jericho countered out of it. Hits the lion saw for a 2 count. Jericho goes for a dropkick on the apron. Orton, though, sets him up for the hangman's DDT. Jericho counters. Walls of Jericho got countered. Orton sent him into the post. Orton lines him up for the punt. Orton went for the punt. Roll up. 2 count. Walls of Jericho. Orton gets to the ropes. Orton fights out of it as he rolls onto his stomach. Kicks Jericho out of the ring. Hits the hangman's DDT. Fans are chanting for Y2J. Orton goes for the RKO. Jericho hits the code breaker instead for a 2 count. Jericho takes his time, gets to the top rope, and is waiting and waiting and waiting. So, did you get a sandwich yet? No? Oh, you still have like 10 seconds to get a sandwich. Oh, really? Oh, cool. Hey! RKO out of nowhere. For the win, Randy Orton.
This was a really kind of typical Randy Orton Chris Jericho match. The Spada theme was a little awkward, mainly because Jericho just kind of more fell.
He fell, and it took like hours for it to happen.
Yeah, for them to set it up. So yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it was just, it was an okay finish. I wasn't a fan of this match to start just because I didn't understand why they were having this match to begin with, especially since you just threw away the Jericho Bray Wyatt feud for the sake really of this match, if you think about it. Like, you hurried that feud to its conclusion when you could have done the cage match between Jericho and Bray on Night of Champions and given them the time that that this match got, and they could have really done something with it, especially with it being Jericho's last night in the company. You could have really done something for Bray in terms of putting him over, and they opted to do the match on Raw instead and set this match up, which really doesn't do a lot for anybody. And I don't know whether it's something that Orton requested it. I don't know if Jericho requested it. I don't know if it was the writers going, oh, hey, well, you know, we're done with the Wyatt feud, so we can move it on, you know, whatever. This match, to me, it's like, it's Jericho versus Orton. You know it's going to be a good match, but you know that they mesh well together, but it's kind of a pointless match. It didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, it was just sort of there, and I'm still trying to figure out a reason why it happened, and I haven't figured one out. So there you go. Brie had a promo. People will ask, when will Nikki get what she deserves? Brie says, Nikki shouldn't be Divas Champions. If you think she's self-centered now, you haven't seen nothing yet. Nikki is a lot like Karma. They're both a bitch. Ouch. Then we go to what was a really, really good match. Divas Championship, Paige, Nikki Bella, and AJ Lee.
One of the matches of the night, easily.
What we need to start with was, what the hell did Nikki do to her hair?
I don't know. She had, like, braids or something in it. It didn't look right.
So Paige and Nikki shoved each other. AJ sends Paige to the outside. AJ and Nikki do battle. Nikki chokes AJ, spins around the balance. Nikki comes up top rope with a kick, then works over the arm of Paige with an arm bar. Got a one count at one point. AJ pulls Paige to the outside, and then Nikki throws them both into the barricade, which was impressive, and it looked like it hurt. We then have Paige is asking for forgiveness when AJ gets her in the ring. She's like, just, and kisses her hand. AJ then gives a spin kick for a two count. AJ with a kick from the outside goes to the top rope, gets shoved off by Nikki. Nikki then works over AJ before Paige kicks her out of the ring. Paige cradles AJ, like, aww, brings her to her feet. Paige with a kick and multiple heads and butts to AJ for a two count. Paige with repeated kicks, and then Nikki knocks her out of the ring, but AJ rolls up Nikki for a two count. Nikki with a slam down on AJ. Nikki then catches AJ. AJ counters into the Black Widow. Paige comes in and breaks it up. She covers both girls, but, well, nothing came of it as both girls kicked out. Paige starts to get frustrated. She carries AJ around the ring then, puts her on the top rope. We then have the Tower of Doom spot by all three girls, which was really, really nice. All three girls are down. AJ rolls to the outside. Nikki hit the rack attack or something like that, they called it, for a two count. The back breaker sort of gimmick. AJ breaks it up. AJ tossed Nikki to the outside, and she landed hard. Like, she flipped her over, and she landed really hard. Took her out. AJ with the Black Widow. Paige countered it for a second, but AJ relocked it in, and AJ wins the Divas Championship. Really good match.
Yeah, this was, when they did the Tower of Doom, that was cool.
Because you don't see the girls do it.
No, you never see the girls do those types of moves, so to see them pull that off, that was sick. It's like, hey, there you go.
Right. So, good match. AJ's the champ. Not many people expected AJ to walk out champ, but she did. So good stuff.
It was really good stuff. I like that they're kind of continuing on with AJ and Paige, especially what happened on Monday night. The friendship is over. Now they're getting down to business.
And Nikki held her own in this match. Nikki impressed me in this one.
Nikki's gotten a lot better. I would say that she's not as good as Brie, but she has definitely improved tenfold.
And tonight was a good, or Sunday night was a good example of that.
I would agree. And, you know, props to her for doing what she did and pulling all the moves that she did. You know, it was kind of an awkward situation where she was kind of the unwanted third wheel for a lot of people, because a lot of us just wanted to see Paige versus AJ, but Nikki held her own. Nikki worked a good match, and I have to applaud her for it.
And it helped extend the feud, too, so that's all that matters.
Absolutely, although I wish she would get just a little bit, like, bigger shorts.
Yeah, so that's not happening.
I know, I'm always worried her business is going to come flying out of those shorts.
She's such a caring person, is Lindsay. Then we have our main event, WWE Championships on the line, Brock Lesnar versus John Cena. Brock charged in, drove him into the corner with a shoulder blocks. Brock goes for the German, Cena holds on. Cena then hits the AA for a one count. Lesnar then goes for the Kimura, Cena goes to the ropes. Let's go Cena, Cena sucks chance. Brock dives, drives knees into Cena. Cena fires back with kicks and knees him. Brock with a hit, so hits the German suplex, so there's one. Cena fights back. Brock goes back to the arm. Brock drives more knees and then rips to Cena. Another shot at the Kimura. Cena gets to the rope. Cena goes for a clothesline. Brock counters into the German. There's number two. Then we head to the Eddie Guerrero special with the three vertical suplexes in a row. Cena's shoulders weren't down when he went for the cover. Cena fights back, gets knocked back down again, goes right after the ribs. Cena goes for the leg of Brock, but Brock goes right to the ropes. Brock then goes after the arm again. Cena gets to the ropes. Brock, with more shots to Cena in the corner, goes then hits a nice belly-belly. There's for a two count. Cena comes down the corner with rights and lefts, back him in the corner. Brock thrusts his groin right into Cena's face. Yeah, they weren't
asserting his dominance.
Asserting his dominance by thrusting his groin into the face of John Cena. That's as PG as we can get on that one. Cena tries to go for an AA. Brock blocks it and hits the third German suplex. Lesnar is, though, there's some blood. Brock pulls off his gloves and, you know, business picks up when he just kicks off the gloves and he drives shoulders in the corner. Cena hits the AA for a two count. Brock goes for the F5. Cena locks in the STF. Brock counters and locks in the Kimura. Cena powers up. Brock continues to lock it in. Cena finally gets the hold broken. AA to Lesnar. STF. Brock's going to the rope. Cena pulls him back. AA to Brock. Here comes Seth Rollins. Hits Cena with the briefcase. Match is disqualified. Thrown out. Disqualification. Curb stomp to Brock Lesnar. Oh my god, Seth Rollins is cashing in. Seth Rollins is cashing in. The ring announcer says, Seth Rollins is cashing in the Money in the Bank briefcase. John Cena attacks. Match never starts. Brock then with an F5 to John Cena. Brock stands tall. I like this match. Hate the finish. Really hate the finish. Made no sense.
The finish made sense, and it didn't make sense. Because it's... Seth Rollins is Mr. Money in the Bank. He is stuck in the impossible situation of having that briefcase while a man called the Beast Incarnate holds the title. And Brock Lesnar is every bit the Beast and more. So, you know, poor skinny little small Seth Rollins has to deal with that. And honestly, you know, I can see the logic in it because he saw his opportunity and he took it.
That part's fine. The whole part of trying to make John Cena look strong, not so much.
Oh yeah, making John Cena, you know, here's my thing. Cena got more offense in this.
He needed to, but that's not the problem.
It's going back to Super Cena. It's going back to WrestleMania with The Undertaker. And how Brock beat The Undertaker so bad, and I will say this till I'm blue in the face, that we have not seen The Undertaker since. They even pointed this out on TV. They've pseudo-implied that Brock Lesnar is the one that not only broke the streak, but retired The Undertaker. Retired him. He's not coming back, y'all. That's what that means. So you have a guy that beat one of the greatest performers in WWE history, a man who for 21 years was never defeated at WrestleMania, beat him so bad that he beat him into retirement. Okay? That's pretty goddamn impressive. And then you have someone like John Cena come along, who is smaller than Taker, but he's younger and he's stronger. So you would expect Cena to be able to handle a beating a little bit better than Taker can, just because Taker is older and more fragile than Cena is. But they're doing to Cena what they always do to Cena, which is they're making him look like Superman. It's like a week after the match at SummerSlam, you have Cena walking around just fine. He got his ass handed to him at SummerSlam. There is no reason for him to be walking around hunky-dory happy with not a mark on him. Okay, you want to compare that? Bray Wyatt got his eye sliced open thanks to Ric Flair's Hall of Fame ring, and he had that black eye for better part of, what, 6 weeks?
Yeah.
And that's just from his eye getting cut open and having stitches. And that's with them working on it and putting makeup on it and everything else. So it's like, okay, Cena can't be out for 6 weeks, but you should have Cena selling the injuries. Because with Cena not selling the injuries, with Cena looking so desperate to prove himself, it pretty much just looks stupid, and it invalidates everything Brock has done, everything Brock is about. Brock is supposed to slaughter people. That is what he does. So the fact that you have Cena walking around like, oh, hey, I'm good, I'm totally fine, nothing happened, is stupid.
And he walked away from on Monday still looking like nothing happened. And it's just, Brock Lesnar has something special about him. He's the beast. He's the beast incarnate. He destroys people. He's the conqueror. I don't know. The way they handle him, Cena should have got more offense, yes, but Brock still should have destroyed him, beat him 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring, and been there and done that, because that's what needed to happen. Instead, we got disqualification finish, Seth Rollins got involved, and that's fine. Let him get involved. It adds a new contender for Brock, but it's like, it just should have never went down. John Cena should have lost, simple as that.
He should have lost, but this is LOL Cena wins, and we were saying it, you know, ever since the rematch got announced. It's like, Brock should win, but it's Cena. That is the justification for every time you pick John Cena. It's like, yes, so-and-so should win. That's the right thing to do. But it's Cena. Right. And we all know how they book for Cena.
Right, and everybody on this in the pick-ems picked Brock Lesnar.
Yes, we did.
Every single person.
And that really is who should have won. You should have, you know... Here's the thing. If you're going to have Brock break the streak, if you're going to put the title on Brock, Brock should not lose.
Correct. I've been an advocate for that since day one.
And I've been right there with you, where it's, you should not have Brock lose for really any reason for the foreseeable future. Until the only time you should have Brock really lose is when you're ready to take that title off him. And you should not have Brock Lesnar be pinned. It should be a 3 or 4 way, something that Brock loses his title due to an outside circumstance that he can't control.
Right, and the thing was, they put Brock Lesnar on. They made Brock Lesnar weak to make John Cena look strong, and that was my issue. Brock should look stronger. Even if John Cena got more offense, the finish should never been as close as it was with John Cena almost becoming champion.
No, it shouldn't have been. It shouldn't have been that close. It shouldn't have been John Cena being able to go toe-to-toe with Brock. That should not have been what happened, but it was. And it's just something of, you're waiting for Brock to just beat his ass, and he never did.
Correct, and that's what we all paid to see.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm watching this to see John Cena get his ass handed to him for a second time, because it's Brock Lesnar. You have sold me Brock Lesnar as this fighter, as this ass kicker, as somebody who will kill every time he goes out. And he didn't do it this time. And it left a very bad taste, I think, in my mouth, in terms of the match.
I'm with you. I liked the match. I thought it was good, but the last few minutes of the match, I was not happy with.
Mm-mm. I would agree with that.
So that's not a champion to go through the picks. I went with Sheamus. You went with Cesaro. I went with Cesaro. You went with Sheamus.
Don't be trying to reverse that.
I know. We both went with Rusev, we both went with Ziggler, we both went with Paige, we both went with the Dust Brothers, we both went with Orton, we both went with Brock. In the final tally, you were 4-3, I was 3-4.
Ha!
But someone else was 4-3, his name was Tommy, and well, he kind of won something.
He did! A big congratulations to Tommy. You have won a copy of 30 Years of WrestleMania, which has been signed exclusively for you, in gold, I might add, by one Brian Shields, and as soon as we receive the copy from Brian, we will send it on to you, so please allow about 4 to 6 weeks to delivery, because I'm poor, and I have to get the funds together to ship the book, so...
And we need to get possession of said book.
And we need to get possession of said book. We do not have possession of it yet. It should be on its way here soon once we get confirmation from Brian. So just give us a little time to get it. We will let you know when I have it or when Rock gets it, whoever actually gets the copy, because we're not sure who's getting the signed one just yet. But once we have it, we will send it on to you. Just give us
time.
Just about 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, because, you know, we this is out of our control. So there
yeah.
you go. So... That's Pick'em. That's the show. I would assume that's the show.
I would agree. Yeah, that's the show.
Hope everyone enjoyed what we were able to bring you for this special edition of The Rack here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And as always, we are live Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern on Wild Talk Radio and RackRadioShow.com. The Rack Extra Total Divas will be available this weekend, season 3, episode 3 will be available for your listening pleasure. Go listen to it. It's Holy Naked Rosa. It really is. And yeah, there's some Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella. Well, they go on job search. Yeah.
Oh my god, that was so special.
It really was. So go listen to it. It's hilarious. It's The Rack Extra Total Divas season 3, episode 3. So it will be available on Friday. Saturday Night Midnight Edition is episode 350 of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night, CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. Sunday night is Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein, Mace, and Omega, covering the week in pro wrestling. Monday night is the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. And again, we'll be back for The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern every Thursday night. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Facebook.com/WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/Groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out WTRProductions.com.
You can follow me on Twitter at LensWard, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychworddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view it, it is available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net/LensWard, same as the Twitter. I'd also like to send a big thank you to Edge and to Sci-Fi. Remember, you can catch Haven at 8 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays. Don't want to miss it because Edge has Adam. So weird to call him Adam, has an awesome season this season, so don't miss it. It's going to be spectacular. But speaking of spectacular, you should also visit our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Go there for all your wrestling action figure review needs. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack. We will see you back next week, live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Till then, bye!